morning. This is Melissa Carter. I'm your host of She Persisted. Thank you so much for joining me again today. So I have my tea that I am drinking this morning. I have cut out coffee. Don't ask me why. I think it was more of a challenge because I didn't start drinking coffee to college. So I had parents that were big time coffee drinkers, but they didn't allow me to try it until I was in college. They didn't allow me to drink it in high school. So I just, you know, I was the kid who followed the lead and okay, well, if it's against the rules, then I'll wait. So I drank in college because I had to have an 8 o'clock Spanish class during summer term. So that's what started me on coffee. You know, it's funny, my brother, who is now, he's 8 years older than me, so I always have to do the math, but he's in his mid-50s, and he just started drinking coffee a few years ago because his buddies at work were drinking coffee, and, you know, I guess much like smoking, he finally decided that if I'm going to hang out with these guys, I gotta drink some coffee with them, so he drinks coffee after this long, and now I've stopped. I think when I stopped getting up at 3 o'clock in the morning for morning radio. And for those of you, that's the number one question I always got asked when I did morning radio is how early did you have to get up? 3:15 usually is when the alarm went off. There was no way that I was not going to drink coffee when I get up at 3:15, get up in the middle of the night. But after I left, I was, well, TMI, I went to a colon cleansing. So I tried that for the first time after I left morning radio. And she said, you're not allowed to have coffee the day of the procedure. And that was a long time ago. And so I said, okay. And I remember thinking, oh my gosh, how am I going to, and the appointment wasn't until 2. So I thought, well, how am I going to make it from the time I wake up until the time that I go into the appointment? And I think that's what triggered it. It's like, Melissa, you know, one day you can't be without a cup of coffee. So I stopped from that moment on. So I made it through, you know, not having it before that appointment. But I said, how long can I go without having any coffee? And I started I think I had a bad headache the next day, maybe 2 days. I could tell that I had made a huge shift in my body. But then after that, it was pretty easy, believe it or not. But I tell you what I missed was the warm drink. So what I did is I replaced the coffee with tea. Now, I've never liked tea. I'm a Southern woman and one of the few that doesn't like sweet tea. I get why you like sweet tea. I've just never liked tea. And so it's not all teas that I can drink. So it's like ginger tea and peppermint tea are like the two. Something that has this really, you know, bold taste to it is the only tea that I can drink. But anyway, so I've got my ginger mango tea this morning. And that was the thing when I quit smoking. I've told you before that I smoked in my 20s and I quit, and it helped me to quit cold turkey by sunflower seed chewing and spitting out the shells. Because what was it that I missed? Well, I missed the hand to mouth thing. It wasn't necessarily the inhaling and the nicotine. It was more of the taking the time to, you know, hand to mouth something. And so I used sunflower seeds with the shells to help with that. Same with the coffee. What do I miss about it? Was it the caffeine boost? Well, now I get better sleep than I did when I was doing early morning radio. So it was not the caffeine boost I needed anymore, but the hotness. And so, yeah, so here's tea. All that for tea. But yeah, if you have recommendations for tea, I'll take those too, because I'm a new tea person. Don't like green tea very much. I don't need the caffeine. So it's more, you know, since I've cut out caffeine, because these ginger teas and peppermint teas, they don't have caffeine in them. So if you have recommendations for non-caffeinated teas that would taste really good, where I could be a little more sophisticated, like the British, with my tea time, then askmelissacarter@gmail.com is my email address. You can always send it there. And anything you want to know about or subjects for the show, that'd be great. The next thing I want to do this morning is apologize to my neighbor, because I have a neighbor, great neighbors, have two special children, a boy and a girl, and their older son is a Boy Scout, and I buy from him every year. And he sells, I think it was popcorn last year, and I got the trail mix this year. So unlike the cookies with the Girl Scouts, their daughter's not old enough to be a Girl Scout yet. So that's coming. But right now, the Boy Scout, I just get popcorn or trail mix. So the apology is to him because, well, and to his dad too, and to the daughter, but she's too young to realize. But when I get home, my bra is the first thing to come off. I take the bra and then the pants. I mean, I put sweats on, so I do have pants on when I walk around. But the most uncomfortable things on my body to me are my bra and my jeans, because I tend to wear jeans a lot. So I wear, you know, I'm braless and usually in, you know, track pants or sweatpants in the house. I'm just comfortable that way, right? So every time little Boy Scout comes to the door, Melissa is comfortable. And I mean, it's been a traumatic year for that little boy coming to my house. I'm sure it's not traumatic. I'm sure he looks forward to coming to the Carter house because he has no idea what he's about to see. Because I can't remember last year if there's anything traumatic. Well, last year, I will tell you, it wasn't traumatic. That's too strong of a word, but interesting. My house is interesting. I'm evolving into that neighbor that is unique. Maybe the crazy neighbor. Maybe I am the crazy neighbor. But last year when he came to sell his popcorn, at least that's what I bought from him, so that's what I remember it by. But when he came last year to sell his popcorn, my son was here with me, and my son was just starting to walk and communicate with other people, and he was fascinated by children at that point, so he just turned two. And when when Boy Scout and his sister came, and their father comes with them, when his father was standing there, my son came out and hugged everybody, and very sweet, hugged everybody and told Boy Scout's little sister that he loved her. And that was the first time they had met. So it was very sweet, because I think that when she's come for trick-or-treater, you know, the last time she'd come around, he was an infant. So for him, that's the first time he'd ever met her, hugged her, told her he loved her. Very sweet. So that was interesting. And I remember Boy Scout being fascinated by that, because how old is he? He's old enough to be a Boy Scout. So then this year, when Dad and Boy Scout, I don't think sister was with them. So Dad and Boy Scout came over and my son was being potty trained. I mean, they picked the day that I started potty training my son. And that was the day that he was running around naked. So his other mother, Katie, the night before had started prepping our son for potty training that weekend. And so when I got him that next day, which I think was a Saturday, it was naked day, naked in the house day. And that was the day that Dad and Boy Scout decided to come and sell said goods for the year. And needless to say, if I'm home on a Saturday with a naked son, I don't have a bra on. And so I think I was in the middle of something with my son in which he was either throwing a tantrum. He was crying. He was crying about something. I think because they'd come to the door and I didn't want him to go to the door. He felt like he was being denied somebody that he knew at the door. And so my son decided to wail at that moment. And so he was crying and he was naked. And I was braless, and I was probably at that point a little tired already from the process. So I didn't feel like looking through any Boy Scout pamphlet. So I opened the door and I kind of peeked my head around, much like Jack Nicholson. You know, here's Johnny. And I peeked my head out and just kind of kindly let them know this was not a good time. I didn't even do kind conversation. I think that was the first time I just kind of shut them down and said, I'm sorry, you're going to have to come back. This is a bad time. And I shut the door. So yeah, I now that I'm talking, I realize I'm the crazy neighbor. And so they, you know, they left and my son got potty trained and then they came back. And I don't think I had a bra on when they came back, because obviously if they came back and I was home, I'm telling you, I rarely wear a bra at home. And so they they came, and I think because I felt bad by the way I treated them the first time, by the time they came that second time for the Boy Scout thing, or, you know, for me to shop, I couldn't turn them down a second time, regardless of how I looked or what. I mean, obviously I didn't have makeup on, no bra. It had to be a Saturday or Sunday, probably while watching college football. And so I shopped braless, but I'm sure I had my arms crossed in front of me, as if that really helps to hide it. And so I shopped and I got the trail mix. Okay, so it was Monday. It was yesterday that Boy Scout knocked on the door. I had run errands. I'd gone to drop my son off at his grandmother's because it was his other mother's day to have him after she got off work. And so our routine is usually, you know, that way grandma's like the consistent spot for the pickup and drop off. And it's not because Katie and I can't be together. I mean, that's not it at all. It's more of it allows him to not get upset from being taken or pulled from one or one of our houses. So either we realize that if we pick him up at the other one's home and pull him out of that environment, he gets more upset than if he's at grandma's and he's excited that one of us is coming. Anyway, so I had taken him to grandma's and and anyway, run errands, got home. And what's the first thing I did? I took my bra off. I hadn't been home 10 minutes. So I still had the jeans on. I had not changed the jeans, but I had taken that bra off and knock, knock, knock on the door. And there was little Boy Scout. And okay. So I opened the door excited. Hey, I'd looked haggard. I'm sure I had my son all weekend. So I hadn't taken a shower. Anyway, the more I talk, the more I realize that Boy Scout is fascinated by me. I am the most interesting house he has on this street. Because he just doesn't know what he's going to get when he opens the door. But I was happy. I was happy to see him this time. I at least was kind to him. Isn't that terrible? Ugh. So yeah, so I will live in infamy in that Boy Scout. So he's going to tell people in his life in the future about the crazy neighbor. And that's me. That's a shame. But I did buy trail mix from him. So he made some money. Trail mix and tea. There's your message for the morning. All right, we'll have more She Persisted coming up next here on the Progressive Voices Network. I'm not going to tell you if I have a bra on right now or not. I'm Melissa Carter. We'll be back soon.
If you've ever been to one of the cities graced with a Trump hotel, casino, resort, etc., you know that the Donald splashes his name in giant, gaudy letters across every structure he owns, preferably in gold. Now, he's taken ownership of a massive new structure, and he might not want his name on this one. It's Trump's towering redo of America's tax law, and it's truly golden. For the super rich, that is. Revealing in hard numbers whom his presidency really serves. Not just the 1%, but the 1/10 of 1%ers who are multimillionaires like, guess who? Him. First and foremost, the Trump tax plan slashes the payments that giant corporations make to support our nation. He claims that this will let corporate elites raise the wages of workers and create jobs, winking at the fact that, of course, the elites will pocket every dime of his tax giveaways. And shh, don't mention a little secret gotcha. A third of his corporate benefits go to foreign owners of American corporations. Meanwhile, Trump's luxurious new tax structure eliminates many benefits for middle-class families, such as tax deductions for medical expenses, college tuition, and interest paid on student loans. He wants modest income families to pay more so he can eliminate current taxes on his own uber-rich family, including killing the alternative income tax paid by the rich and the estate tax, which applies only to the immense fortunes of a handful of America's richest families. This is Jim Hightower saying, did I mention that the gilded tax structure proposed by this self-described business genius would hang an additional $1.5 trillion debt around our children's necks? No surprise, for Trump's grandiose luxury projects were often built with other people's money, advancing himself before he slipped away, leaving others to grapple with the bankruptcy.
Try and get up every morning, day after day, and work for a living. Let's see him try that. Then we'll see who's the real tough guy. The working man is the tough guy.
With me, Joe Wilson, a wealth management advisor with a big money management house.
More money, yo money, Joe money.
We're happy to get the kind of money that jingles, but we'd rather get the kind that folds.
Not your grandpa's financial show.
What's going on, my money mavens and moolah misfits? It's me, your money guy, Joe Wilson of the Joe Knows Money Show, reporting live on Progressive Voices Network, delivering you 4 minutes of money news you can use. Trending this week in money news, a quarter of Americans cannot fix their teeth, according to the Federal Reserve's recent report on the well-being of U.S. households. That leads me to my next topic, 7 ways to save on dental care. Tip number 1, commit to preventive care. If you do not have dental coverage, paying out of pocket for cleanings can save you money down the line. Barring that, make sure you're still brushing and flossing carefully. The cheapest cavity is one you'll never get. Tip number 2, look for discounts. Brighter.com is the Groupon of dental care. It allows you to search for dentists in your area. It provides photos, summaries, and a rating system that links to Yelp. Best of all, Brighter offers substantial discounts on procedures and lets you know how much they'll cost in advance. Tip number 3, look for financing. Some dentists offer low or no interest financing plans. Some let patients create a budget plan and pay over 15 to 20 months instead of covering care all at once. Tip number 4, get a treatment plan in writing. Ask for a treatment plan in writing with an itemized list of costs. and talk through these costs with your dentist or orthodontist to see if there might be a less expensive option. You can look up fair pricing for procedures in your area using Fair Health's free dental cost lookup tool. Tip number 5, visit a dental school. If you live near a dental school, find out if it offers free or inexpensive cleanings to the public. Students perform the work under the supervision of licensed dentists. Tip number 6, use flexible spending dollars. If your employer offers a flexible spending account, you can fund the account with pre-tax dollars to pay for out-of-pocket medical costs like dental work. However, you need to predict your costs for the year in advance so that you don't overfund the account and wind up losing unused money unless your employer offers a grace period or carryover option. Tip number 7, join a dental savings plan. For many seniors, these non-insurance membership programs can fill the dental gap in Medicare coverage. With a low-cost dental savings plan, you'll save anywhere from 10% to 60% off the regular cost of procedures. You can learn more about dental savings plans at consumerhealthalliance.org. Now it's time for Joe's Money Trap of the Day. While most dentists are ethical, it's smart to remember that a degree on the wall isn't a guarantee of honesty. Also, the Coalition Against Insurance Fraud advises parents to ask to remain in the treatment room while a child is in the dental chair. That way you can make sure that your child is safe and only the expected treatments are done. Here is Joe's money grab of the day. Thousands of uninsured Americans are traveling to Mexico every day for dental care they otherwise couldn't afford. Molar City provides dental care to uninsured Americans at a savings of up to 70% off procedures. A ceramic crown costs $340 and dentures start at $250. Most dentists in the town speak English and many receive training in the United States. And now it's time for Joe's quote of the day. When we talk about the healthcare crisis in America, we got to also be talking about the dental crisis and how to address it. That is a quote by Senator Bernie Sanders. You are listening to the Joe Knows Money Show on Progressive Voices Network. Follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/Joe Knows Money to hear this and other 4-minute money news you can use segments.
I'm Rick Smith, and this is Labor History in 2. On this day in labor history, the year was 1927. That was the day that the Holland Tunnel, connecting New York City and New Jersey, opened for traffic. Before the tunnel, the only way to cross the Hudson River from the city to New Jersey was by ferry. City officials decided to build a tunnel to alleviate congestion. But they had a problem. All those cars driving underground would cause a potentially deadly buildup of carbon monoxide. There had to be a way to ventilate the tunnel. Engineer Clifford Holland came up with the solution. Big fans located at each end of the tunnel could draw fresh air into the passage. The giant fans were nearly as tall as a 10-story building. In honor of his engineering work, the tunnel was named after Holland. But he did not live to see the completion of his vision. The tunnel also owes its existence to unionized labor. The workers who performed the backbreaking work of digging New York's vehicle and subway tunnels called themselves the Sandhogs. In a 1983 book about the union written by Paul Delaney, a worker recounted his memories of the Holland Project, saying, quote, "The turnover in workers was unbelievable. Men would work an hour or maybe a shift, and they'd never be seen on the job again. Even the strongest men were tired after 15 or 20 minutes in the air. And there was always the worry about being fired. If a man went for more than 2 sips of water during a shift, he was told to collect his wages and go home." 14 workers died on the project. More than 1 billion cars have made the trip under the Hudson River since it first opened.
Labor History in 2 brought to you by the Illinois Labor History Society and The Rick Smith Show. For more information, go to laborhistoryin2.com, like us on Facebook, and follow us on the Twitters at Labor History in 2.
Ever really think about what ideas can do? Well, then you realize the size of the thinker does not determine or even limit the size of the idea. Well, that's what my children's book is all about. It's called Whale of an Idea. And if you need a gift for a baby shower or a birthday, I would love for you to consider it. Whale of an Idea, available now online at Amazon and Barnes & Noble.
Say, "This is Mr. Carter."
"This is Mr. Carter."
"And you're listening to?"
"Listen to?"
"My mom."
"My mom?"
"On She Persisted."
"Just from six, uh-oh."
She Persisted. I am your host, Melissa Carter. So we've talked about the sexual harassment in Hollywood and how, I mean, so many more people are coming forward. It's almost on a daily basis. I can't keep up because more and more men are being accused of sexual harassment, not just by women, but by men too. I got to tell you, I'm pretty happy that this domino effect is happening and things are being toppled over. I had some friends who said, and female friends, who were skeptical about all this happening because they felt like it was a witch hunt. They felt like these women were going to come out and tell things that really weren't relevant. And again, these are women who had been conditioned to the point of criticizing other women for speaking out. But since they said that only like 1 or 2 weeks ago, and they realize how big the problem has been in Hollywood, they've changed their minds. They're like, no, this is good. This is good that these guys are being called out for this. And it's happening across the country, like we've said. And one of my friends who was critical of the women in the beginning, who changed her tune, then texted me and said somebody in her company has been let go because of sexual harassment. And she was supportive of the fact that he was punished for it, because our culture is changing to where we don't want to reward men for behaving this way, and women too. But obviously, it's the men that seem to be doing the most violations when it comes to women and their comfort. Now, I say women. I mean, we're talking about guys too that are getting violated. And like with Kevin Spacey, I was disappointed. But I tell you, the person that really disappointed me and hurt my heart was George Takei. I love George Takei, but now it's like, dude, like I am so tired of being fans of people that behind the scenes have, you know, an insecurity to where he had to slip a guy a roofie and start to try to violate him while the guy didn't give him permission and had no idea what was going on. That's just so disturbing. And as a Trekkie, let me tell you something that surprises me is the fact that of all the people on Star Trek, that George Takei got called out and William Shatner has never been called out. I mean, because you assume that somebody with an aggressive personality, and it's you know, legendary that a lot of people didn't like working with him on that show. And after the show, didn't, you know, dealing with him. And then he's the one that has the last laugh because he's like, look, you know, you call me out, but it's George Takei is the one that's doing this stuff to people. So I don't know what's left and right. I mean, it's just a shame that now I question who I'm a fan of, because I don't like that behavior. I mean, obviously that is unacceptable. And so George Takei is now unacceptable to me. Unfortunately, it's so sad. And didn't William Shatner have a woman, his wife, die in a pool or something under odd circumstances or something? I don't know. But I mean, that's totally different than violating somebody. But it, you know, he had some controversy around him. But still, that George Takei, oh, had the worst controversy. And another thing about George Takei that irritated the hell out of me, and then I'll get back to my point, because my point was not George Takei. The thing that irritated me about George Takei the most is that when this broke and they tried to reach him for comment, the best excuse he could come up with, or his people could come up with, was the fact that he was in Japan or Asia and couldn't be reached. Now, this is 2017 with social media and a global, you know, a global media world and economy. And you can't use the excuse of, oh, I was in Asia, I couldn't be reached, as if somebody is on a rotary phone trying to catch you, or going through an operator that has to pull all these plugs and these wires to try to get you. That don't work no more. Oh, that irritated me too. Like, George, come on. Like, own up to it. Shit. At least Louis C.K. owned up to it immediately. But Wonder Woman star Gal Gadot has done something above and beyond this. She has decided to make a power play against Brett Ratner, who is a Hollywood producer who is being accused of sexual harassment. And he has been accused of sexual harassment by several A-list celebrities. And so Gal Gadot has decided that she wants to punish him too and make sure that he gets out of the business of Wonder Woman. So Ratner's production company is called Rat Pack Doom Entertainment, and it helps produce Wonder Woman as part of a deal with Warner Brothers. So he's involved in the movie franchise. Gal Gadot doesn't want him to be involved anymore, and so she has threatened to leave the franchise if he is not let go. She is taking a stand and taking her position as a power woman in Hollywood very seriously, because obviously she's one of the hottest women in Hollywood right now. And she has said, again, she refuses to sign up to be Wonder Woman in the sequel unless the movie maker, Brett Ratner, is completely killed from the franchise. Not only that, she was supposed to honor him last month at a dinner where she was supposed to present him with an award. And she backed out of doing that because she didn't want to honor him when he was accused of sexual misconduct. So I love the fact that she has the ability to do this, has the position to do this, and is speaking out and doing something about it. You know, it's one thing to try to gain power, but another thing it reminds me of is that once women have power, then you need to use that power to better the conditions for all women. So congratulations to Gal for doing that. Now, one thing I think is interesting when it comes to Gal Gadot is that Newsweek is calling out GQ for the cover that she made for GQ. So GQ has named their Men and Women of 2017. And obviously they're a magazine geared toward men. So three of the four are men and one woman, Gal Gadot, being their Woman of the Year. So they branded different people with different monikers. For instance, Stephen Colbert, Bad Hombre of the Year. Kevin Durant, Champion of the Year. They gave Colin Kaepernick the Citizen of the Year. And they gave Gal Gadot the Wonder Woman of the Year. But what Newsweek points out that if you look at all four of these covers, the only person showing any skin besides their face and hands is Gal Gadot. Newsweek is even calling out sexualizing her even further by on her cover. I mean, she's got a blazer on and she's got a t-shirt on, but obviously the t-shirt is not long enough to cover her midriff. And so she is showing kind of a power pump, fist in the air, but that navel is showing. And then Colin Kaepernick, well, he's got a turtleneck on underneath his blazer, and then Kevin Durant has a blazer and a t-shirt on, and then Stephen Colbert completely has a full suit on. It's still this idea that, you know, they're honoring her for being Wonder Woman of the Year, but let's show a little skin to make sure that everybody knows that she's the sexy one and they're supposed to look at her differently than they're supposed to look at the guys. So I found it fascinating that it was Newsweek that called out GQ for that series of issues. It's the same thing I think about with Beyonce and Jay-Z. And they just kind of symbolize what I see everywhere. But it's when they did their tour together, you know, Jay-Z is fully covered in baggy clothes and Beyonce is showing as much as she possibly can. And there's a part of me that just, I don't know. I appreciate that someone wants to show their beauty, but I don't know. I kind of don't want always to, for a woman to have to do that. When I buy clothes, I do get frustrated at how skin tight some of the women's clothes are. When I go shopping, there's a lot of times, especially when it comes to t-shirts and casual clothes, that I will go in the men's section. I will, because again, I've told you I'm built like a 2x4, so I don't need the curves of a woman's t-shirt, but it's skin tight and it's thin. So you're paying the same price, but the women's clothes are thinner and more, you know, they reveal everything, where a man's t-shirt is a little thicker and it's more comfortable because I can be comfortable in it. I can move around in it. So men still dress for comfort, and women, you know, whether they, I don't know, is it women initiating that or is it the fashion industry that's initiating that, and women just have to deal with it? Because if you're a big busted woman, a man's t-shirt is not going to be comfortable for you. So you have to buy some of these women's shirts, women's t-shirts and women's button tops, because, you know, if you get a guy's shirt, it's going to be so flat at the top that you won't be able to breathe. So we still have a lot of things to analyze. Is it over analysis or is it justifiable analysis? I don't know. But the fact that Newsweek was the one talking about why does she have to show skin when the guys don't have to show any was interesting to me. But Gal Gadot, congratulations, taking a stand. And I guarantee that they're going to make sure that Brett Ratner is not a part of the Wonder Woman series, because there's no way that they're about to lose her during that. All right, so coming up is my can of crazy. And I'm going to tell you about one guy here in Atlanta who was so excited to get on camera that he risked getting caught doing this. Going to tell you all about that coming up here on She Persisted on the Progressive Voices Network. I'm Melissa Carter.
Hey, Progressive Voices listeners, I'm Rebecca Vallis, host of Off Kilter, powered by the Center for American Progress Action Fund, here on the Progressive Voices Network. This week, I spoke with Seth Hanlon, one of the tax gurus at the Center for American Progress, about what's in the Republican tax plan. Is it really for the middle class? Spoiler, it's not. Let's take a listen.
I want to get to some more of what's in the plan. I mean, we could sort of go through, like, point by point all of these things. But I think it's really important to also take on one of the other major talking points that Republicans have been really crusading with, which is about the child tax credit. Mm-hmm. Ivanka Trump, during her father's presidential campaign, was out there on the stump all the time talking about how she was going to be the architect of a massive paid leave plan, a massive child care plan. Her father was going to be the best for women and families that we'd ever seen. And to date, what we've seen is a pretty paltry paid leave plan from President Trump that Ivanka designed, or so we're told. And now, in this tax bill, a child tax credit increase that Republicans are touting as a huge, huge benefit to families. Right. Are they right, and is that fair?
It's vastly overstated. I mean, so like you mentioned earlier, this tax plan gives with one hand and takes away with the other. So they increase the child tax credit by several hundred dollars. But at the same time, they eliminate personal exemptions and dependent exemptions for families. So right now you can deduct basically $4,000 from your income from every member of your family. So giving it a larger tax credit might make up for that. But you're basically getting families back to zero. So it's certainly not a game changer by any means in terms of helping families afford the expenses of raising children or the expenses of childcare.
Well, and we keep hearing Kevin Brady and Paul Ryan and others claim, oh my God, we're giving families something like a $1,200 annual tax cut. Right. A lot of that, they're pointing to the child tax credit as part of that. And even if those numbers did add up, and you noted before, there's some limits on this, right? Yeah. They decided to make the corporate tax cuts permanent,
right,
and some of what you were just talking about that would actually help families even modestly, they actually decided to make it time limited. It expires after just 5 years, and you know, that's, I think, an important point to make. But Seth, you're a parent, right? You have how many kids do you have?
I have three.
You have three kids, and so how far would $1,200 a year go for you in offsetting the costs of those kids? Really far, right? It would, like, cover everything?
Yeah, I don't know. It'll cover maybe 1 month's after-school activities, maybe. I don't know. Washington, D.C. is a special case, I think.
But it's expensive to raise kids, right?
Yeah.
I mean, and this is it fair to say this is basically a drop in the bucket when it comes to what it actually takes to cover the cost of childbearing?
I think that, I mean, compared to the corporate tax cuts, this is a drop in the bucket. And I think that's important because the corporate tax cuts are going to have real consequences for middle class families in other ways. When we, you know, increase the deficit by $1.5 trillion, there's no doubt that, I mean, we can just look to the Republican budgets to tell us how they're going to pay for those tax cuts.
Well, let's talk about that, right? Because most of what people have been talking about is what's in this tax plan, the four corners of the tax plan. And we'll talk about kind of what happens next and how it's likely to change and what happens when the Senate is taking it up and some of the kind of, you know, procedural rules that end up being really important here. But you just made a really important connection, which is, how are we actually ultimately going to pay for all of this? Thanks for listening. For more Off Kilter, find us on the Progressive Voices Network and as a podcast on iTunes. Follow us on Twitter at Off Kilter Show and at facebook.com/Off Kilter Show.
You're listening to the Progressive Voices Network, and here's a clip from Tara Buster with comedian Tara Devlin from RDTDaily.com.
How low can they go? As far as Roy Moore is concerned, what does it matter if he molested children? They have bigger fish to fry. They need to destroy democracy. That's their ultimate goal. You know, and when a Republican says, we're just protecting children, that's when our red flags need to go up. Because what are they protecting them from? They're protecting them from having two loving parents that happen to be gay. But they're not protecting them from needlessly dying without health care. They're not protecting them from ignorance by funding education. They're not protecting them from getting gunned down when their parents take them to church. They're not really protecting children. And when Roy Moore says, well, why now? Why are they coming out now? That was 40 years ago. I have to say, you know, it's never really a good time for a pedophile when a victim comes forward to report them. We really usually don't consider whether it fits into the perpetrator's schedule. but that's today's Republican Party. GOP, pedophiles, Putin, and plutocracy. All for plutocracy.
This is Tara Devlin from RDTDaily.com. That was a clip from my show, Tara Buster. Join us for the live recording every Saturday at 6 p.m. Eastern at FYINation.com or catch the replays starting Sunday at 7 p.m. Eastern on Progressive Voices or anytime on demand on the Progressive Voices app. Support the Progressive Voices Network and tell your friends. Remember, we stick together, we win.
You're listening to WIN, Workers Independent News, a production of Diversified Media Enterprises.
For WIN, I'm Joanne Powers. With the Republican majority in the state Senate voting last week to make Wisconsin the 28th state in the nation to call for an unprecedented national convention to rewrite the U.S. Constitution, Democrats and grassroots activists around the country are sounding the alarm that the future of the document, and therefore the country, is at stake. Well, a major focus for the GOP, which is currently in sole control of more than 30 state legislatures, six more states would have to pass similar resolutions in order to make a convention happen. Although ostensibly for the purpose of adding a balanced budget amendment, amendments to the Constitution have never before required a full constitutional convention, and non-Republicans are concerned that there is really no limit to what could be changed. Duke University history and public policy professor Nancy McLean fears the movement is intended to further the right-wing pro-corporation agenda of the Koch brothers and their allies.
I think that this is a long-term strategic plan on the part of the Koch donor network. I believe that they are doing it using the ideas developed by James McGill Buchanan. He considered all existing constitutions to be failures in not adequately protecting the corporations and wealthy minority from the ideas of their fellow citizens about what the common good in the public interest were.
McLean also says that even if the Constitution was limited to only the balanced budget amendment, it would be intended to bypass full Democratic scrutiny.
They are pushing for it using the language of a balanced budget amendment, which sounds reasonable to people on first blush. But what we've seen repeatedly when those balanced budget amendments came before Congress over the years, they did not pass because once economists and other citizens alerted the people to the fact that this could potentially endanger Social Security, Medicare, all the kinds of regulations of our air and water quality, discrimination, all the other kinds of things Americans value, people backed away from it. And I think it's quite chilling that we're seeing this move through the states as dramatically and as rapidly as we are now, with 28 of the 34 states needed to call such a constitutional convention now in place.
Rideshare company Uber was greeted with another setback against its business model on Friday when a UK Employment Appeal Tribunal upheld a lower ruling that drivers are workers under British law and therefore have the right to minimum wage and paid holidays. Uber and other rideshare companies have long tried to argue that workers are independent contractors without the various rights and labor protections of other workers. The judge did not accept this argument, noting that the workers could not make their own agreements with customers and had to follow company policy on how many rides to accept.
WIN is brought to you in part by the Amalgamated Transit Union, the largest labor union representing transit and allied workers in the U.S. and Canada. Online at atu.org. You've been listening to WIN, Workers Independent News. For more information, visit workersindependentnews.com.
Whether you are in or out of town on New Year's Day, I invite you to simply watch the Rose Bowl Parade on January 1st. Why? Because I have the honor as a kidney transplant recipient of riding on the Donate Life Float thanks to my sponsor, Atlantis Piedmont Healthcare. What a cool experience to be in the Rose Bowl Parade. And you can find out more, see what the float looks like, and even become an organ donor at DonateLifeFloat.org. That's DonateLifeFloat.org. Float.org.
1, 2, 3, 4.
Normal people, stupid things. Today's entry comes out of my hometown, Atlanta, Georgia, where a bank robber here in the metro area stopped on the street to do an interview with a local reporter while he was in between two robberies. Eric Rivers had just left one bank, and after the interview, he went into another one. Now, he was caught because a witness saw him go toward the news truck, and so cops talked to the reporter. Here is Detective Scott Pendergrass from the Lawrenceville Police Department talking about Mr. Rivers.
While interviewing one of the managers at the BB&T Bank on Lawrenceville Suwannee Road, they informed us that the suspect was seen leaving the Fifth Third Bank and walking towards a CBS 46 news truck.
You know, Gwinnett doesn't really have its own public transportation, so MARTA coming out here would definitely help out a lot.
I think you caught him off guard. I think you surprised him.
Now, I know we all want to be a celebrity, but congratulations to Eric Rivers. It's the timing of that celebrity that's very important, and you made it into my can of crazy. Have more She Persisted here on the Progressive Voices Network. I'm Melissa Carter.
This is the top of the hour from the Progressive Voices channel on TuneIn. Instead of commercials, you've got progressive news and interviews right here at the top of the hour.
Hello, Progressive Voices TuneIn listeners. I'm Casey Hobbs.
And I'm Shane Mason, and we're the hosts of Nurse Talk Radio.
Here's what we're talking about this week. We're talking about the recent wine country fires that raged through California's Napa and Sonoma counties in early October, leaving over 6,700 homes destroyed and damaged, displacing between 150 and 200,000 people.
Thousands of lives changed in an instant. The uprooting of many seniors who were either living in assisted living, retirement homes, or nursing homes that were either damaged or destroyed by the fires.
Parents may have been brought into their children's home because their home actually burned down and they're staying with them. Boom, instant caregiver. And yet the reality is, you know, and you saw this case in nursing all the time, is people become instant caregivers every day when their parent has a stroke or something happens and the hospital discharges them and says, hi, you're now an instant caregiver. I'm a big fan of as you age, living near your children so that they can be your advocate, but not necessarily living with you.
Many are cashing out their home insurance after losing their home to the fire, and they're not going to be able to rebuild.
Yeah, definitely. So I started thinking, you know, where they're going to go. I'm assuming they're going to be moving nearer to their children, and their children need to start making plans for what it's going to look like to have mom or dad down the lane. And nobody planned about that, you know. What happens is I think people are well-meaning, and they say, gosh, mom, you know, your house burned down, come live with me. But it's not thought through. It's not thought out. Everybody's just in the moment. And that's fine to be gracious and generous, but what's the long-term plan going to look like? You know, I've had some people that are happy to be with their kids, and the kids are like, oh my God, it's been 3 weeks. I love you, but when are you going? And then am I a heel for asking you to go? So there's that conflict and that guilt. You love them, but you want your life back. And that's perfectly normal to feel like that. So I'm encouraging people to have a conversation with their loved one, set some realistic expectations in the house. If you want your mom to stay with you forever, start talking about sharing expenses. If you think your mom should move to an assisted living or to an independent living or just her own apartment, have that conversation and plan a date for when that's going to happen and what that's going to look like. And families are terrible at having these conversations.
Yeah.
And they have such a hard time making these plans because they feel like they're hurting their parents' feelings.
Well, and especially after such a big trauma, then you really feel bad. You don't know what you don't know. You need to talk to somebody to find out even how to move that conversation forward.
That's my favorite way to work with people, is to talk with the family first and then to meet with the older adult and help facilitate that conversation if need be. But there's, as you say, a lot of guilt that goes into having that conversation. But avoidance of conflict just creates more conflict. That's what I've seen. So
very true.
Be brave and start it. Throughout the U.S., you can go to the website that has care managers who can help have this conversation regardless of the circumstances, and that's aginglifecare.org. You just put in the city where your parent lives or where you live, and practitioners in that area will come up. And there's also placement agencies that work for free. They have contracts with assisted living homes throughout a certain area. You call a placement agency. They work to help find appropriate homes for your mom. And there's no fee to you because they're reimbursed part of the first month's rent if your mom moves in there. So placement agencies are very, very busy right now helping people find housing. And as you say, it might be further out and farther afield than where they're used to being, just because we don't have a lot in this county, unfortunately.
And are you seeing any housing that's starting to come up for seniors up there in Sonoma County? Is anything starting to happen yet?
No. In fact, we lost several care homes, and the ones that on Fountain Grove that burned don't have the infrastructure yet to bring the residents back. Some are back on lines, but without a phone line, I found out yesterday. Others need water to be fixed and electricity lines to be repaired before those residents can come back. So you're looking at people being displaced for, you know, a lot longer than something that, you know, is just a week and we got some paint and we're good to go. So I think that's forcing a lot of families to think longer term of what it's going to look like to have mom, you know, somewhere. What's it going to look like? What can be permanent for them? Or is there going to be a plan A and then a plan B? So one of the things I wanted to mention actually is the idea of there are walkers and wheelchairs and diabetic supplies and adult diapers. A lot of that is what people, when they fled, didn't have a second one at their, you know, at their children's home to use. So these recycling closets exist where you can go and get something for low cost or free rather than paying retail for it. So if your parent needs a walker or a wheelchair or a lift chair or a bed or a bedside commode, a lot of that is available through these recycling closets. So do not go it alone. Get some expert advice.
Check out our show at nursetalksite.com and listen every Saturday and Sunday right here on Progressive Voices.
You've been listening to Top of the Hour on the Progressive Voices channel on TuneIn. Commercial-free interviews and exclusive progressive news and information at the top of the hour.
Try and get up every morning, day after day, and work for a living. Let's see him try that. Then we'll see who's the real tough guy. The working man is the tough guy.
With me, Joe Wilson, a wealth management advisor with a big money management house.
More money, yo money, Joe money.
We're happy to get the kind of money that jingles, but we'd rather get the kind that folds.
Not your grandpa's financial show.
What's going on, my money mavens and moolah misfits? It's me, your money guy, Joe Wilson of the Joe Knows Money Show. Reporting live on Progressive Voices Network, delivering you 4 minutes of money news you can use. Trending this week in money news, a quarter of Americans cannot fix their teeth, according to the Federal Reserve's recent report on the well-being of U.S. households. That leads me to my next topic, 7 ways to save on dental care. Tip number one, commit to preventive care. If you do not have dental coverage, paying out of pocket for cleanings can save you money down the line. Barring that, make sure you're still brushing and flossing carefully. The cheapest cavity is one you'll never get. Tip number two, look for discounts. Brighter.com is the Groupon of dental care. It allows you to search for dentists in your area. It provides photos, summaries, and a rating system that links to Yelp. Best of all, Brighter offers substantial discounts on procedures and lets you know how much they'll cost in advance. Tip number three, look for financing. Some dentists offer low or no interest financing plans. Some let patients create a budget plan and pay over 15 to 20 months instead of covering care all at once. Tip number four, get a treatment plan in writing. Ask for a treatment plan in writing with an itemized list of costs and talk through these costs with your dentist or orthodontist to see if there might be a less expensive option. You can look up fair pricing for procedures in your area using Fair Health's free dental cost lookup tool. Tip number five, visit a dental school. If you live near a dental school, find out if it offers free or inexpensive cleanings to the public. Students perform the work under the supervision of licensed dentists. Tip number six, use flexible spending dollars. If your employer offers a flexible spending account, you can fund the account with pre-tax dollars to pay for out-of-pocket medical costs like dental work. However, you need to predict your costs for the year in advance so that you don't overfund the account and wind up losing unused money unless your employer offers a grace period or carryover option. Tip number seven, join a dental savings plan. For many seniors, these non-insurance membership programs can fill the dental gap in Medicare coverage. With a low-cost dental savings plan, you'll save anywhere from 10% to 60% off the regular cost of procedures. You can learn more about dental savings plans at consumerhealthalliance.org. Now it's time for Joe's Money Trap of the Day. While most dentists are ethical, it's smart to remember that a degree on the wall isn't a guarantee of honesty. Also, the Coalition Against Insurance Fraud advises parents to ask to remain in the treatment room while a child is in the dental chair. That way you can make sure that your child is safe and only the expected treatments are done. Here's Joe's money grab of the day. Thousands of uninsured Americans are traveling to Mexico every day for dental care they otherwise couldn't afford. Molar City provides dental care to uninsured Americans at a savings of up to 70% off procedures. A ceramic crown costs $340 and dentures start at $250. Most dentists in the town speak English and many receive training in the United States. And now it's time for Joe's quote of the day. When we talk about the healthcare crisis in America, we got to also be talking about the dental crisis and how to address it. That is a quote by Senator Bernie Sanders. You are listening to the Joe Knows Money Show on Progressive Voices Network. Follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/Joe Knows Money to hear this and other 4-Minute Money News You Can Use segments.
If you've ever been to one of the cities graced with a Trump hotel, casino, resort, etc., you know that the Donald splashes his name in giant, gaudy letters across every structure he owns, preferably in gold. Now, he's taken ownership of a massive new structure, and he might not want his name on this one. It's Trump's towering redo of America's tax law, and it's truly golden. For the super rich, that is. Revealing in hard numbers whom his presidency really serves. Not just the 1%, but the 1/10 of 1%ers who are multimillionaires like, guess who? Him. First and foremost, the Trump tax plan slashes the payments that giant corporations make to support our nation. He claims that this will let corporate elites raise the wages of workers and create jobs, winking at the fact that, of course, the elites will pocket every dime of his tax giveaways. And shh, don't mention a little secret gotcha. A third of his corporate benefits go to foreign owners of American corporations. Meanwhile, Trump's luxurious new tax structure eliminates many benefits for middle-class families, such as tax deductions for medical expenses, college tuition, and interest paid on student loans. He wants modest-income families to pay more, so he can eliminate current taxes on his own uber-rich family, including killing the alternative income tax paid by the rich and the estate tax, which applies only to the immense fortunes of a handful of America's richest families. This is Jim Hightower saying, did I mention that the gilded tax structure proposed by this self-described business genius would hang an additional $1.5 trillion debt around our children's necks? No surprise, for Trump's grandiose luxury projects were often built with other people's money, advancing himself before he slipped away, leaving others to grapple with the bankruptcy.
Did you know that the number one fear of Americans is public speaking? And you may share in that fear. And you may have done the research to see programs that are supposed to help you out, but they require you to go an entire weekend with a bunch of people that you're intimidated to get in front of and spend a lot of money. Well, guess what? You can do my online course called Speak Your Spirit. I designed it especially for shy people, and it only costs you $50. That's it. SpeakYourSpirit.com. Start sharing what you want to say. SpeakYourSpirit.com. She Persisted. I'm your host, Melissa Carter. I'm sure you've heard this already, but you know that heart disease is the number one killer in women. And for those who don't know that, it may be surprising. It was surprising for me when I learned that. I've participated in Go Red for Women Day, which is the American Heart Association's attempt to get the word out about women taking better care of their heart health. It takes place in February every year, so near Valentine's Day. It's a good reminder. So next year, if you've never participated in Go Red for Women Day, then you can participate next year in 2018. When it comes to heart attacks in women, A lot of times the symptoms can be different than men. Now, my father had a heart attack. He did survive it. And other men who've had heart attacks, they describe it as an elephant stepping on their chest, that they can't breathe and there's a lot of pain right there in the center of their chest. Sometimes their arms go numb. You've even seen it depicted in movies as that's the way that heart attacks happen. And for men, it may. But for women, the symptoms can be completely different. And I think for a while, women were dying of heart attacks because they didn't recognize the symptoms. Sometimes pain can happen in the neck, in the jaw, in the shoulder, even in the upper back, even in the abdominal area. There can be signs of cardiac arrest or heart attacks within women. But a study that has just come out along these lines have to do with women getting help when they're having a heart attack. The study was reported on by the Washington Post, and it says that women are less likely than men to get CPR from a bystander and more likely to die. Can you believe this? This study comes out of the University of Pennsylvania, which says that only 39% of women suffering heart attacks or suffering cardiac arrest in public were given CPR. Now, only 45% of men were, but still, that's a 6-point difference in women and men. And why is that happening? Well, if you can believe it, it's because some people are worried about touching a woman's chest. Audrey Bluer is the researcher who led the study, again, out of the University of Pennsylvania. And her quote is, "It can be kind of daunting thinking about pushing hard and fast on the center of a woman's chest. And some people may fear that they are even hurting her." So it may not just be copping a feel issue. It could be the fact that they feel that she can't take the pressure, I guess. But Dr. Benjamin Abella says that rescuers also may worry about moving the woman's clothing to get better access or touching her breast. He thinks that is the issue, and that you put your hands on the sternum, which in effect is in the middle of the chest, which is in between the breasts. But he goes on to say that this is not a time to be squeamish because it's a life and death situation. And I say, yes, touch me. Touch me wherever you need to touch me to save my life. Can you believe that we are so sensitive now to not violating a woman, which I think is a good thing? But then the downside of that is that people are even afraid to touch her in public. And so if a woman is dying, you've got to help her. It doesn't matter what you touch. I mean, if my breast gets in the way, well, let me clarify that, because my breast won't get in the way of that. You're going to touch bone right there in between the chest. But if there's a more endowed woman, if her breast happens to get in the way, she wants you to touch it so that you can save her life. I can't believe that we are just letting women die on the street because you don't want to touch her. So, yes, I think it's a good lesson to know that you need to be certified in CPR in case that happens. But if you are certified in CPR, do not hesitate. A woman can take it. Just go ahead and do your best to save her life. Oh my gosh, I can't believe that this is even becoming an awkward situation for people, for a woman having a heart attack in public. Lord. I mean, that's this other thing. Lord, or Lord of mercy. Like, I can't believe that that's happening. And then my mother, who would not want to cuss, I guess, in front of her children, maybe because she was a little pious and didn't want to cuss at all, but she would take the vowel out of the word, and somehow that rendered it non-cussing. So she would shht. If she said shht, then that made it not a curse word. She was not guilty of cussing. So that's what she would say about that story. She'd be like, shht. Well, shht. Thank you so much for joining me on She Persisted and my random tangents. You can download the Progressive Voices app anytime, and you can get access to all the shows from She Persisted, as well as all the shows from all the great host here on the Progressive Voices Network. You can also catch us on shepersistedshow.com. There we also have a blog about the guests we have on the show, and you can subscribe to our podcast there. If you're already on iTunes, you can subscribe to our podcast there as well. We're on iTunes, and we would love for you to like us and spread the word. That'd be great. You can catch me on social media, Twitter, at Melissa Carter, 1L2Ss, Instagram, Facebook, Melissa Carter ATL. I'm also on LinkedIn. I'm on Pinterest. I did the whole thing. But I drew the line at Snapchat. I'm not sure why. Snapchat was just, that was the straw that broke the virtual camel's back, because I couldn't do any more. So I can't. I can't do Snapchat. So I apologize if you're on Snapchat. AskMelissaCarter@gmail.com is also my email address. And I'd love for you to send any comments, any can of crazy stories, any ideas you want for the show, just anything you want to talk about. That'd be great. I'd love that too. So I hope you do something special for yourself today. Be sure and do that. Make yourself smile. And I will see you tomorrow morning. And I hope you have a fantastic Tuesday. Take care of yourself. And we'll see you in the morning. Bye-bye.